Hearing God determined by our response. What's our part in this? And how does it affect hearing God?
Turn to Luke chapter 8. Open your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, go slide beside someone who does. I know we could put it on the screen behind, but then we would stop reading our Bibles and you just depend. And the other problem is that when you put it on the screen behind, you only see the scriptures that I'm reading. And what you need is the scriptures that I'm reading, plus all the ones that your eyes fall on when you space off when you're not listening to me. And then God speaks to you anyway, even when you're missing what the preacher's saying. Luke chapter 8. The parable of hearing God. Is that what your scripture says? Well, the title was put in by other people. But the scripture says this. After this, after the woman had anointed Jesus, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up with them and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." Pause there. We'll come back to it in a moment. Several years ago, we were taking a sabbatical in Fruitvale at the Clark's little house. At the base of a mountain with beautiful snow-covered surroundings. And one Sunday afternoon, we came home from Beaver Valley Baptist. They don't have lunch afterwards like we do. And we were waiting for lunch, and it suddenly dawned on me, this Sunday afternoon is the biggest unofficial holiday in the United States. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday suddenly crossed my brain. And I knew that in this room all around us were voices going back and forth. In fact, pictures were going through the airwaves. And if there was some way that I could tune in and hear, if I could tune in and see what those pictures were saying, I would see the Super Bowl. Now, off on the side of the room was this ancient television. Now, I grew up in a family that never had a television. And I have a home now that doesn't have a television. Although computers are starting to cross the line with that one. But anyway, I know what it's like to not have a television. But I also played football in high school. And that one game of the year, doesn't matter who's playing, I just like to see it. Half the time, I don't even know who's going to play until that day. But I do like to see a good football game. So if I could find some way to make that television in the corner of the room find those voices that are floating through the air, so I went over and looked at it. It had 2 little knobs. It was an old one. And if you click one knob, you can then turn the other one to 40 different places. You click it again and you turn it. I don't know how those things work together, but somehow some combination of the two might make it work. And so I clicked and turned and clicked and turned, and sure enough, something kind of glimmered and made me think there might actually be some way of receiving these voices. I looked around the back, and sure enough, there was 2 little screws. You know, the 2 little screws that you can put an antenna on. And I looked through the basement, and I looked through the garage, and there was no antenna. But Walmart wasn't that far away. Hopped in the car. We still had 3 hours till the Super Bowl. Off we went to Walmart, and we found a $15 rabbit ear thing, you know. and it had the little plug on the back, or you could put on the old-fashioned kind and use the two wires and attach to the screw. And so that's what we did. We attached it to the screw, and we put these rabbit ears up, and we turned it this way, and we turned it that way, and turned it this way, and suddenly some voices came through. It was still snowflakes. But then we turned it just a little bit, and a glimmer of a picture flashed through. And I spent the next 4 hours turning it this way and that way, attaching pieces of tin foil on each end, going out to the garage and getting a roll of wire, and then making 10-foot long pieces of wire attached to different parts of the house and trying to... I didn't get to see the Super Bowl. But I almost tuned in. You see, there was voices in the room, and I was responding to the voice. And my response determined whether or not I get the message. And how we respond to God's voice determines whether or not we get the message. Had I been a little more diligent, or had I started, had I thought of this a month earlier, then you remember how it used to be. Your neighbor would build that big tower beside his house, right? And up on top of the tower would be this giant antenna. Those were the real couch potatoes. In my day, that was the real couch potatoes. I'm not as old as Charlie. We celebrated his 50th birthday yesterday. But I am old enough to remember when the couch potato neighbors would build a big tower with a big antenna so that they could actually draw in from even out in these mountainous regions, they could draw in the signal for the Super Bowl. So how we respond determines what we hear. Let's come back to our story. We're talking about how to hear God's voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We talked about how hearing isn't just with natural ears, but God is spirit. He made us in his image, and we hear spiritually. We hear him speak to us. You might remember the many stories where Jesus is speaking, and the four Gospels record him as saying to the Jews many things that they didn't seem to hear. The leaders of the day didn't receive. The same voice was coming through the crowd. Some responded, and some didn't. Why is that? In fact, John draws it out most clearly, and we read in John chapter 5, just hold your finger in Luke though, we read in John chapter 5 where Jesus is talking about being the life, and he's talking about being the Son of God. And then he says to the leaders, "The Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me." I'm reading from John chapter 5, verse 37. But here's the important part. "You have never heard his voice, nor seen him, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one that he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me for life." John chapter 5, Jesus speaking to the Jews, directly speaking to the leaders who are rejecting him and saying, "You don't receive me. You can't hear me. But you are the guys who are diligently studying the scriptures. And yet you refuse to come to me for life." You know, there are people who will diligently study sound waves. They'll talk to you all about transmitters, how radio waves work, how TV signals travel, how satellites are now used for these things, how it used to be before, how repeaters work off the top of mountains. All of these different technical ways that they can explain how the signal gets from the broadcaster to your television. There are people who can study those things in detail and yet have no interest in what the message is. They have no interest in even tuning in to watch. There are other people who go a step further, and they not only can tell you all about it, but they tune in and make a business out of showing it to others. But they don't really care what they're broadcasting. It's whatever they can make money on. Here's an ad to stick with it and some more advertising, this to keep people's attention, some more advertising, this to do this. And it's just about using the product for their own purposes. The Pharisees that Jesus is speaking to diligently talked about God's voice. Could tell you all kinds of things that he had said. Could tell you exactly what tense it was said in. What verbs were used. What adjectives. What parallels there are. How these things correspond with other things. How prophecies from long ago were being fulfilled now. And yet had no interest in the overwhelming message of come to Jesus for life. This is the book that is pointing to Jesus and all life being in him. Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, it's not the law who makes you righteous, but keeping the law. It's not having the law, not that you inherited it, but doing it that you'll be considered righteous. But don't get stuck there. He's not trying to tell us how to do it. He's trying to tell us how impossible it is for anybody to ever do it. And that no one has ever succeeded in keeping the law, and therefore pointing us to you need Jesus for life, the one and only who has kept the law, the one and only who does fulfill it, the one and only who we can live through and live out his life righteously. Jesus is the overwhelming message of this book. And the Pharisees would diligently study the scripture and yet refuse to come to him for life. How is that possible? And what is that like today? And how do we hear God's voice? Is it possible that we would study and think and technically talk about, but not respond to the voice of God? Of course it is. Lots of people study the Bible as classic literature. Many people in churches study the Word of God to prepare for their next debate with their friend, or to endorse their pet project. Studying the Scripture so that I can reassure myself that the things that I've stated I believe, I'm really right, and my buddy's not right. All of this keeps Jesus at a distance. It's just technical interacting with the text, but not interacting with Jesus. Sometimes people use scripture as medication. I'm really stressed out. Let me find a peaceful psalm to quiet my soul. And completely out of context, they're medicated for a few minutes, when really what they needed to find was a different passage that brought conviction and freedom. But we medicate ourselves by finding what we want to find in Scripture, by tuning into the channel that we think will make me feel good, instead of actually responding to Christ. Responding to God's Word determines how we continue to hear in the future. You see, there's a difference between using God's Word, or not even His written Word, using His voice, or sitting under his voice. If I sit as king and in the control seat, I pick and choose and find and listen to what will help me. It's very different than if he sits as king and I come before him and sit at his feet and say, Lord, what would you have me to be about your Father's business? How shall I respond today? You are Lord, I'm your servant, I surrender. How I respond to his voice as one who uses, controls, sits in the driver's seat, or as one who sits under and surrenders, will determine how you hear his voice and will determine what else you're given in the future. Back to Luke chapter 8. the disciples want to know, what is this farming story all about, Jesus? Why are you telling us about people planting seeds? And Jesus goes on to explain. And I want to bring together three parables all together. This one and the next two. Because Jesus tells these three stories to tell us how to hear by responding. He tells these three stories to tell us that how you respond to me, him, determines hearing his voice. So let's read all three back to back. Continuing on in verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes it away, takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root, they believe for a while, but in time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasure, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. There is nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came in to see him, but they were not able to get to him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. My family is those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. The Pharisees had not heard the Father's voice because they had refused to believe in Jesus. They had refused to entrust themselves to him, to come to him for life. The disciples are in a very privileged position. They have been called. They have been taken into God's counsel. Those who are hardened with unbelief, those who reject Jesus, he says, will be ever seen, but not seen, ever hearing, but not able to hear. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Because the people are responding in unbelief, they won't understand. Because the people have hardened themselves against God's voice, truth is going to remain a mystery. But for those who have responded to God's call, for those who have the privilege of being called children of God, we are taken into his counsel. We have him speaking to us. We have him explaining, the revealer of mysteries, telling us how life really is. What a grand privilege we have. We mustn't treat it lightly. And with the measure you use will determine how much you receive. You can try for those little screws at the back, or rabbit ears, or tinfoil, or extra wires, or building a tower that actually works. But you will receive based on your response. We'll look at this some more. What does Jesus say in the first parable? God's word, his voice, is sown upon the hearts of people. Some respond hardened. Some are too busy with the things of this world. Some are shallow. They respond quickly, but they don't really mean it. But there's others that receive it and take it in. It's almost like you picture this farmer's field with these little hands sticking up out of it, just grabbing the seed and digging it down in deep. Wouldn't you love to see a field like that? All these hands just grabbing it and putting it in. Those who have four things, a noble and a good heart. They're sincere about what they mean. They're sincere about wanting to hear God's voice. Those who hear his word, they actually do hear. They haven't turned a deaf ear to God. They haven't just haphazardly let his words fly by, like when our children are playing with their toys and they don't hear us say, time for dinner. But they actually have heard. They have, number three, retained it. And lastly, by persevering, they bear fruit. By hanging on, by believing, by waiting for it to come to pass. That's the ones with a noble and good heart who actually, because of their response to God's voice on their life, they have hung on to it, taken it in, sincerely received it, and they will bear fruit. When you take God's word in, and it enters your life. He describes it in parable number 2 like a light. His voice illuminates. His word is a light, is a lamp. It exposes. It shows how life really is. And then as a person who has received his word and taken it in, there are several responses. Some allow it to expose and illuminate. Some quickly grab a jar and put it over top. Hide it. I don't want it to shine on me. I don't want him to expose what's going on in me. That's too personal. I might cry. I might have to change. Or, let's just shove it back under the bed where it won't shine quite so bright. I would never put out God's word. Oh, no, no, no. I would never say no to God. But let's just put it back in the corner for a little bit where it won't shine so bright. Because his word exposes everything. Nothing stays concealed. Nothing stays hidden. It permeates like yeast. It invades every part of our life. And so Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. This is about his voice. I know we are also lights. I know we also witness. I know all those things. But in this context, Jesus is talking about how you listen. And what you do with it determines something. Look at this. This gets really exciting. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Verse 18. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. His point is, when the word comes into our lives and it's a light that exposes, think about how you listen. And the measure that you use is going to determine the fruit of that in your life. It's also going to determine how much he speaks to you in the future. Or it's going to determine him removing things that you thought you had. Think about a coach. A coach teaches the whole ball team the ways of soccer, the ways of hockey, the ways of football, the ways of volleyball. And the coach sees among the players that there are some who receive the coach's input and some who just put up with it. Okay, we've got to run 10 laps, and we've got to run 10 laps. Okay, we've got to shoot 20 baskets, then we'll shoot 20 baskets. I just want to be on the team. I just want to wear the jersey. There's other players who eat up everything the coach says. Talks to him after practice. I'm really working on this one skill. Can you help me more with this? That person, the measure that they use, is going to receive more and more and more. The coach will not only speak to them more, but they'll call them up and say, hey, next summer, you want to come with me to this training camp? Hey, the following summer, you want to come with me and coach junior league, the little kids? Why? Because of the response. With the measure that that person used, the coach knows he can speak more and speak more and speak more, and it's going to be used and retained and bearing fruit. And so more is given. That's the concept that Jesus has given us here. Hearing God is His voice on the waters, His voice on the world, His voice on the hearts of all mankind. Some hardened ones reject. Some shallow ones don't take it all that serious. Some caught up in this world love the praise of the world more and get choked out. Others take it in. And when they take it in, it begins to transform and change. At which point, some again hide it. Some push it off where it won't have too quick of an effect. And Jesus warns us, but with the measure of how you receive His word will determine what you hear. It's going to determine what you hear next time, how much is entrusted to you. What does that look like? Oh, let's just end with the last one. And to make it really clear, I consider my family, says Jesus, those who put my word into practice. Not those who study it, not those who memorize it, not those who tell others about it, but those who put it into practice. That's my family. He wasn't saying his mom wasn't his family. He was just saying, you're welcome in my family. You're all welcome in my family. Here's how you get in. Put into practice what I say to you. That's so exciting. Because God entrusts things to you, and then He gives you more and more and more. And the adventure of following Jesus continues to grow. Where the Pharisees reject Him and they can't hear. And they'll be ever hearing, ever seeing, but not really getting it. And yet the simplest follower will get more and more and more. The uneducated fisherman will receive more and more and more. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. But He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise people. He takes slaves like Joseph and brings them to the top of the kingdom. He takes captives like Daniel and brings them to the top of the kingdom. He takes murderers like the Apostle Paul and makes him the greatest writer in history. He takes bumbling fishermen like Peter and makes him the most powerful preacher. God chooses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. It's not dependent on your education. It's not dependent on your ability. It's dependent upon responding to His voice. Responding to His voice. What do you do with what He speaks? We should probably have a few examples. And I'll open it for you to give some examples in a moment. Some examples. What do you mean? It's all fine and dandy to talk about TV signals and radio waves and antennas, but what's that actually mean in your daily life? It means responding to things like, when I first met Jesus and He showed me, seek first the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other concerns of your life will be taken care of. Seeking first the kingdom became our top priority. For my wife and I, it determined how I took employment. Sometimes when I left employment, how much time off of work we used for youth camps, for going places that God was sending us. That was determined by response to hearing God's voice about seeking first the kingdom. Hearing God's voice about greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. No greater love has anyone than he lay down his life for his friends. Servanthood is what Jesus values, not the iron-fisted government of the world. What does that mean? That means in the factory, thinking to yourself, what would the boss want right now? How can I serve my company? Those were responses that were in my heart because of what the voice of God was saying to me. How I respond in the factory when I run out of work and I could just stretch out the extra hour at the end of the day and get paid for it. Or I can say, what would help my company right now to make a profit? That wasn't man's wisdom. That was the voice of God. Man's wisdom was, take it easy. It all pays the same. You're not going to get any difference because of what you do. God's word is the one when you're a newlywed that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and causes you to talk with your spouse and to work out differences. God's word is the one that says to you, that little niggling voice that says, something's not right between you and that person. You're both my children. Go talk to them about it. Responding to that, God's word is the one that says, he is good. All that he does is for our good. God works all things together for those who love the Lord. Responding to that in faith determines what you've heard when all things have just gone bad that day. When your car stopped working. When you got sick. All things work together for the good was his voice. Do we receive it in faith or do we reject it? Do we hide it? When that voice says, hey, see that worship conference? Pay for the man in Minnesota to go to it in Texas. Oh, that was a fun day. We sent a check. We sent a note to a friend in Minnesota. It changed his life. We were 24, 25 years old. We didn't have kids. We had money. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Two jobs. No kids. Right? It changed his life. But what a joy to be part of faith, of responding to his voice. What a joy to one time wrap up money in a box and a bigger box and a bigger box, bigger box, and put it on the doorstep and ring the doorbell and run. Because of God's voice. What an adventure to follow God. Stop by and talk to that person. Encourage them. Okay. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What you do with it will determine how many more things the coach wants to tell you about. How many more opportunities the coach gets you involved in. What an awesome adventure. What does it mean to respond to God's voice? You tell me. You thought of anything? What little things, daily things, has God said to you that you had to make a choice?
Forgiveness.
Reading his word. Spending time with children when it's inconvenient.
Letting go of little philosophies that I've made more important than the truth.
Letting go of philosophies that I've made more important than the truth.
Praying.
Making time to pray. Being thankful. Humility. These are all ways that God speaks to different ones of us. Each of them are examples that someone could, in their own strength, try to live out. And it would just be the law. I did that for a while. I was committed to praying 1 hour every morning until the day I die. I'm going to pray 1 hour every morning until the day I die. I promise you, Lord. I was young. A month later, at 5 a.m, I walked the streets of my town and I said, God, someday before I die, I'm going to miss this. It might as well be today. Deal with me however you have to. Slay me if you need to. But I know I'm going to fail before I die, so I might as well fail today. Let's see what happens here. I didn't die. But I did go through a dark time. But that was the effort of, in my own strength, trying to do what somebody else in Texas was doing. Right? So everything that you've just heard someone say, please don't walk home with a weight on your shoulder saying, oh, yeah, I got to do what he said. Oh, yeah, I got to do what she said. Oh, yeah, I got to. Oh, my goodness, I'm never going to this church again because it's just too much work. The whole point of it is, Jesus said, there are people who study his word and talk about all kinds of things, but refuse to understand that the issue is, come to him for life. Come to him for life. Listen to his voice. Respond to his voice. Let him speak to you. He knows what's best for you. And he'll tell you what's next. My football coach didn't tell me what he was telling the grade 12s when I was in grade 8. When I was in grade 8, he was telling me different skills to work on than what he was telling the grade 12s. Why? Because I didn't know half the stuff. God is like that. He knows us. He knows what's next for your life. And all of his ways are good. But determining where you are in grade 12 is dependent upon how you respond to coach in grade 8. The nice thing with Jesus is we can actually stay in grade 8 for 5 years and then keep on moving. I mean, in school, you know, if you just stay there for 5 years, sorry, you graduated, you can't be on the football team anymore. But some of us in our Christian walk, we get stuck. And the good news is we can just go back and say, okay, Lord, would you remind me of what it was that you wanted me to work on that I said no to? And 99% of the time, that's what's sticking you. I know you wanted to skip that one. You push it under the bed. You know, hide that candle at the back. Don't want to deal with that. I want to do what Charlie's doing. What Austin's doing looks like a whole lot more fun. Yeah. But right now, when you're at work and you've got an extra hour, I want you to use your time wisely to make your company profit. Come on, that doesn't sound... Money's evil anyway. Doesn't the Bible say money's evil? No, it doesn't. It's the love of. So I've got to go back and deal with what I'm doing with that hour. Because that's what he's spoken to me about. That's what coach said. And the measure that you use will determine what's next. What an exciting life we live. We don't have to worry that just because we got stuck for 4 years, that we're off the team for eternity. He's still waiting for us. And the adventure is still there. So let's get going with it. How do we get going with it? Being part of his family is putting into practice what he tells us. And we can always pick up what he's told us. We can always ask him to hit the refresh button on our screen and remind us of what was next. Hearing God is determined by how we respond. He speaks, and some of the people respond with rejecting God, like the hardened soil. Some respond with carelessness, like the shallow soil. Some respond with a too busy, I'm consumed with my own 80 years that I have here. This is first. But others respond with a good and noble heart. Sincerity saying, speak to me, Lord. I want to put into practice. And with the measure that you use, it's measured back to you. It determines how life goes on next. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Let's put it into practice. God bless you.